Blog Talk Radio.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornel West. Yes. Peace to the movement. Yes. We came from the bottom. Ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options, rob us slain. Now we locked up again. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states. Working your forms, black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong. You act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? You never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I wanna get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Get up, get up. Get up, get up. Get up, get up. Get up, get up.
They done tore down all the PJs in my barrio. Gang units for worst case scenario. Might work, still a couple of quirks. Can't call it pancakes cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the road is still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, racing dough. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland security now, there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still riding, still obliging. Still no Bin Laden. Tuned in waiting for the president's announcements. No 40 acres, take these 40 ounces. We ain't gon' get on the levees. Revolution televised early. Is you ready?
Why you wanna treat me so cold, America?
Forced to climb and shit and have your back heavy, beat and lost your mind. Especially when you done been down for so much time. Getting up don't even really ever cross your mind. You got pawn shop, gun shop, liquor store sign. SWAT team, crack fiends, unemployed line. Stay late, dollar short, trying to buy time. What we do to survive is defined as a life of crime. You can't ball, then you forced to grind. If you fall, then you cross the line. And I've been putting in work from 9 to 5 and 5 to 9. This phone call cost a dime. What it made me is one of the relevant, highly intelligent. Brothers not only dealing with the same drug selling. If I'm a hustler, then what's more American? We all founded on the same drug heritage.
America, why you wanna treat me so cold? America, I done gave you all that I own. America, took me from my mama so young. America, locked me up and gave me your name.
America, 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 you know the black freedom movement. You know we've been trying to redeem the soul of the nation. Even as that nation been trying to render us soulless, so we're our soulful people, the blues people. We've been keeping alive the same banner of democracy. Thank God for those who came before. We shall never forget them and always move forward with grace and dignity.
America, why you wanna treat me so cold? America, I done gave you all that I own. America, took me from my mama so young.
Ready for another exciting show, Dr. Mary Lee Live. The topic we've been talking about for the last seven parts is something in me got broken, and no matter how hard I try, I can't fix it. Tonight, we have a special guest who's going to be on board with us, Carson Hedgepeth in France, and he'll be speaking on that subject. And The music you heard in the background was by Dr. Cornel West back in 2007 on Hidden Beach Records. The first rapper was Iris the Moment from California, Rod Digger, Black Thought, and of course, Dr. Cornel West. Music produced by Corey Coachy Tatum. I want to bring on our co-host, Dr. James Cannon. He is the father of entertainer Nick Cannon. Nick Cannon is the ambassador of our H.R. 1242. If you look that up, it was a bill that was passed back in 2018 and to recognize the 400 years of history in America and from 1619 to 2019, but it's been extended to us till the 1st of July. Our goal now is to raise $1 billion to disseminate it across the United States to tell our stories of 400 years in America. So we're working with Nick Cannon's Foundation, Dr. James Cannon, along with Dr. Mary Lee. I'm Dr. Tatum. So right now, I want to introduce our co-host, Dr. James Cannon. Are you with us, Mr. Cannon?
Yes, sir, Dr. Tatum. I appreciate you, sir. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're live, sir.
Beautiful. Ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's always a pleasing pleasure to come be with you on Wednesdays, as Les Brown would always say. You know, because when we come together, ladies and gentlemen, synergize, we come up with masterpieces of conversation. You know, and I appreciate Dr. Tatum so much, because when we talk about 400 years of greatness, you know, Dr. Tatum is one of those, you know, coming out of the city of Bakersfield, and he's running for state senate out of District 16 out of California. And ladies and gentlemen, this is a big deal, because anytime we can get behind a black man that's willing to stand up and raise his hand and say, I'll go to the front of the line, I'll lead. You know, everybody needs good leaders. Our young men need good leaders. Our cities need good leaders. But sometimes it's hard to find a good leader. And so if you're not a good leader yourself, you still have to be able to point people towards good leadership, because everybody needs good leadership and wants good leadership. And so I appreciate Dr. Tatum, and I want those of you that know somebody in the 16th District in California as he runs for Senate, you know, one of the only Afro-American men that would dare stand up and run in 2022. So we want to be able to make some telephone calls, write some letters, and get behind this gentleman, as he, you know, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it's not always easy. You don't have all the support you need. Sometimes you don't always feel good. But when God calls you to do something, you got to let it go from your head to your feet. And you got to be willing to go when other people tell them. I just want to say I appreciate you to our listeners. You know, help me get behind this man and this movement and do all we can do to get him in office and raise all the money that we need in order to make some noise, ladies and gentlemen. So I just wanted to say that. And Dr. Lee, as well, as I appreciate you tonight, I appreciate your show and the subjects that we're bringing to America, to our people, to be able to join in week after week and into this conversation as we end up on this subject that we've been on for several weeks. Something got broken on the inside. Can't figure it out how to fix it. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, you know, when we think about life, you know, there's been a whole lot of brokenness taking place in this country, in this nation, and in this world. And I just want to encourage you that even if you find something broken on the inside of you, there is help. You know, my daddy used to tell me from a child that, son, you know where you get your help from. He used to tell me that there may be times that I'm not fair, but I want to introduce you to somebody that's bigger than me, because if I'm not fair, then you could call and get help. So we had a running understanding, a running conversation that simply says, you know where your help come from, don't you? And I'd say, yes, sir. And then he said, okay, well, apply your help. And ladies and gentlemen, tonight as I bring Dr. Lee to the table, we're part of her help. We're holding up her hands week after week, make this show go. And you have participated so outstandingly week after week, month after month, year after year. So we want to say to you as a listener that we appreciate you as well. Appreciate you for tuning in. So, Dr. Lee, I bring you to your microphone, to your throne, and I know you're going to bring some great conversation and dialogue as always. Well, I just want to say I appreciate you and I appreciate being a part tonight. Dr. Lee.
Thank you. Thank you so very much, Dr. Cannon. And I'm just happy to be here. So happy that you all are here. Appreciate you, Dr. Cannon, Dr. Tatum, and all of our co-hosts and our listeners and all of you who are on here tonight. I'm just excited. I am so excited for tonight's show. And it just seems that they do really keep getting better and better and more fulfilling. We're here to provide a support in the area of entrepreneurship, really. This is how we kind of got started talking about the 400 years of slavery, where we're going now, you know, with this H.R. 1242 that had been signed into law by President Trump to talk about and to commemorate the 400 years and to educate our country, you know, across the country about the 400 years. And we've had some great topics, you know, critical race theory, and it's been going on and on. We talked about epigenetics, our DNA, who we are. We've just had so many great conversations. We're in our third season. We're not going anywhere. This is your platform. This is your platform. You are invited to be a special guest here and to talk about your heart, what's in your heart, your passions, your business, how we can help you. And you can visit neighborhoodcommerceinstitute.com. You can Google Dr. Mary Lee. You'll find all kind of information out there regarding what we do. So we're not going to spend a whole lot of time talking about that tonight. I'm anxious to get to our guest, our special guest tonight. And yes, this topic, something in me got broken. And no matter how hard I try, I can't fix it. This is part 7. This says a lot. You know, we got started in talking about saving our babies. And it kind of led over into this for a reason. And we all have experienced some brokenness in our lives, you know, and brokenness can last a lifetime. The hurt and the pain. And it affects all of us differently. Most of the time, we don't know how to deal with it. You know, we're going through different things, and we don't know why. And that sometimes we have an idea because, you know, deep down inside of us, I just believe that we're connected. So connected, you know, with the universe, with the spirit of God, and ourselves, our own subconsciousness, that maybe we, you know, walk in denial or just shut things out because we don't want to think about them, we don't want to talk about them, and our lives. And so, me included, I've gone through a lot of pain, and, you know, in the family, outside of the family, at work, in the community, you know, many different places and with different types of people. But one thing I'd like to say as we talk about this is that somewhere within us, somewhere within we can find peace. It's there. But how do we find it? You know, how do we fix it? This is what we're here talking about. And we have, you know, we have medical doctors here with us. We have psychiatrists here with us. And, you know, from time to time we have social workers. So we have professionals here to help us along the way. And ultimately we want to repair and we want to live in our passion. We want to fulfill our dreams. We want to know that we can. We can. Brokenness makes you feel like, you know, you're worthless, that nobody loves you, don't nobody care about you. But we've got professionals here. We welcome all of you to join in the conversation. I know we've got some special guests, so I'm going to ask you to tap one so that we can open up your lines, okay? 1446, your line is open. So just tap your phone. We're going to be calling on you in just a little bit. We want to ask Dr. Moncrief. We want to welcome you. Stay a little bit. And Dr. Long. And then we're going to get to right on to our special guest, Carson Hedgepeth. In fact, I think we'll ask Dr. Long if you would introduce Carson. And then, Carson, you will take it over at that point. And then I'd like for you to introduce your friends. So I want all the friends, please tap one on your telephone, okay?
Dr. Lee,
thank
if I may
all.
Do some house cleaning before, please, if you are not the speaker, mute your phone so that everyone can hear the speakers clearly. Again, if you are not the speaker, please mute your phone so everyone can hear the speakers clearly. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, Dr. Moncrief.
Good evening, and thank you for having me on the show tonight. I'm looking forward to hearing our guest speakers. Actually, I'm kind of excited to hear them speak. We've been pursuing the topic, Something in Me Got Broken, and no matter how hard I try, I can't fix it. And we've been for the past few weeks showing that, well, no matter how hard you try, you can fix it. We've been ending up on positive notes, and I want to keep moving forward in the positive direction. We find ourselves sometimes in situations that we feel are just overwhelming. We find ourselves alone and unsupported. And one of the positive things that are coming out of this series is that you're never alone. And that there's always, always a lamb in the bush, that there's always hope. We touch upon, you know, the churches being a resource because we forget that the church has always been there. The black church has always been there and will be there. Sometimes we try to get caught up on the exceptions to the rules, and we talk about how the church has not been as supportive as it could be, but the church has been more supportive than we give the church credit for. And we talk about our youth in a place where they can always turn for help, the black church. If you go to one church and it doesn't meet your needs, go to another one. There's programs in the black church almost every night of the week. You just have to find the right church that fits you. And you have to find the programs in the church that fits you. There's programs for black males. There's programs for black females. There's programs for both. And so we have to, our young people have to have a place to go. And another thing that our young people told us was, hey, you know, we get into these situations and we feel unloved and unhelped. What can we do? And we asked them, you know, what can we do for you? And they told us, you know, after school, we need activities. We need support. We need community centers that we can go to and express ourselves. If we don't have some place to go, then we will end up on the street and we will end up doing things that may lead us into long-term problems. I'm not going to you know, keep talking. I want to give the other people a chance to speak. But it's just so wonderful, the direction that this program is taking people. And Dr. Long's experiences that he shared with us, I cannot just give him enough credit for the work that he does every day, him and Dr. Tyne. So with that, I'm just going to turn the mic over to Dr. Long.
Good evening, everyone. Again, Dr. Mary Lee, thank you for your constant motivation and interest in our community. My name is Dr. Curtis Long. I'm an adult child and adolescent psychiatrist. I work in various areas. I'd say over the last 5 years, at this part of my career, I think I found my passion in dealing with youth, particularly youth who are in the state of despair, which kind of goes to our ongoing topics in terms of saving our babies and things being broken and seems like it can't be fixed. I also have a private practice in which I try to engage all ages, doing different things within the community that are needed. And on one particular occasion, approximately 3 months ago, I encountered a young man who I knew immediately was very creative, very smart, very motivated to do great things in the world that's going to improve all of our health, understanding, et cetera. And it was one meeting at my office, and having been a part of this show and knowing what the show is all about, I suggested that this young man initially listen to the show. And then once he listened, he made his introduction, and everyone remembers that night when he did his introduction with spoken word, which is what I believe culminated into him being on the show tonight. I think this is an example of the older generation kind of sitting back, opening up your ears, you know, growing that third and fourth ear and allowing young people to do what they do. So with that being said, I would like to bring on this young man, Carson Hespath, to take it from there.
Thank you so much, Dr. Longs, Dr. Lee, and Dr. Moncrief. I really appreciate you guys. I'd like to just say thank you to everyone for allowing me this space and allowing me to contribute to this show. I truly do think it's an honor, and I don't take it lightly. Excuse me. I'd like to start today just so I brought myself and a few friends of mine. These friends that I've grown up with one. I've known him since I was in the fourth grade, so we've known each other the better part, more than 10 years. And my other friend, I've known him for about three or four years now, but he's just as solid. And these are guys that I really trust and people that I know have the same mindset and have the same motivation to do great things and to not be average and to help other people. So I'd just like to introduce them first and foremost. You guys can go whenever.
Hello, my name is Gil Foster. I'm a rising artist, aspiring artist. I go to Kentucky State University, graduating in the winter. And I appreciate everyone for letting us come to this space and the special minds. I appreciate it.
My name is Bryce Gresham. I am also an aspiring artist, working on finishing up my communications degree, and as well as Carson and Gil, I appreciate you all allowing us the space to communicate with you all and express our opinions.
Thank you, fellas. Yeah, so I had them introduce themselves because they're my partners in this endeavor that we're undertaking this summer. And essentially what the program is going to be is going to consist of two things. So we're creating a video cast/podcast essentially talking about all the major issues that face black youth today: mental health, toxic relationships, police brutality, racial profiling, sports, and anything that people can relate to and that people can share their opinion and glean knowledge from. And the second aspect of that is that we're going to have a program for young kids to come to the studio to record, because recording in a studio setting is a very good way to express your feelings. It's a very safe space, and it's not something that you have to, you know, a lot of kids, especially in Detroit, Michigan, don't have a place to express themselves safely and to just to be like a kid, or, you know, just like to be their age. A lot of people in this city grew up too fast because we were forced to do things that we weren't ready to do, I mean, because we had to. And that's, you know, I think it's maybe neither good or bad, but maybe it happened for a reason. And I think that reason may be for us to pass on hope and opportunity to the youth of our community and give them a chance to, you know, do things differently than we did.
That's great. So, so you say, I want to welcome you all. If there's anyone else out there who wants to speak, tap one on your phone, tap one on your phone, and then we will definitely open the lines up. Okay. Okay. So 832. Last four digits are 7940. Your line is open. Do you want to introduce yourself? Who do we have here? Last four, 7940.
Yeah, hello?
Hello. Yes, we can hear you.
You know, I'm sorry, inadvertently hit that number. I was this is my first time tuning in and just exploring my way around, and you know, but you know, I just wanted to sit back and listen.
Okay, all well, right. Welcome. We welcome you. Thank you so very much.
Thanks.
Okay, you're welcome. Okay, Erica, 865. Okay, 865-0704. Maybe that was an error too. Okay, well, we want to welcome you again. The floor is yours. Feel free to share. I mean, you know, when you came on the first time, Carson, you did share spoken word, and you know, which is a great. So I want you all to feel extremely comfortable and share your heart. So, Gil, you're at Kentucky State University, and you're soon graduating. I believe you said coming up winter, you'd be graduating.
Yes, at the end of the fall semester.
And then is that when, I know you're doing a program this summer, and you are motivated to start this program and do this program, you know, for yourselves as well as for the kids to share things, you know, with the kids, to give the kids an opportunity that you didn't have. But you were saying, and I believe it was Carson, was saying that you all were forced to do things that you didn't want to do. Can you expound on that just a little bit for us?
There were a lot of difficult times that we didn't have to overcome growing up, and a lot of things that we were just restricted on or couldn't get access to was just, it was really hard when wanted to express yourself through
in certain ways, and we didn't have the right equipment for a lot of things, and a lot of things were a mental stretch for us, but we manifested that we will be at a point to where we can present opportunity to other people who had the same interests as us at the time. And we just didn't want anyone else to be at the low point that we were when it was a point that we had a big interest in something.
And then you didn't have the resources. You
yes,
basically
the resources
didn't have the resources during that time to come by. Oh, okay. And so what are some of the things that you did on your own, and any one of you can jump in and answer, but how did you improvise, you know, for the things that you didn't have?
Yeah. So this, I can answer this one. For example, we didn't always have like access to a studio. Everyone can go to a studio, but obviously like it costs money to have studio time, to have an engineer, to have someone recording you. So what we did was we ended up pulling together money to buy a microphone, get GarageBand on our Macs, and, you know, get a mic interface. And we just really just started making music that way. And when we started taking it more serious, we just, you know, put some more money together and, you know, pulled in some money for the studio. And we saw that that was promising, and it's really just kind of like, you know, you just keep working and working and working until, you know, you see, okay, I can make something of this. Let me take it a little more serious. And what we are trying to do, I think, is give people like the tools that we have now at the beginning, because if you have all the tools at the beginning, you can grow exponentially faster. It's just like, you know, like a proven fact. And also, you know, the youth deserve a way to express themselves that isn't going to be harmful or, you know, toxic. Like, art in and of itself is one of the ways that humans express themselves, you know, abstractly through their subconscious. And that's not, there aren't many avenues for you to do that, and it's something that I think is widely overlooked as when it comes to, you know, like self-care and, you know, just daily life. Is like no one really like brings up being creative, and like being creative is like a super really, really good, like not only hobby, but it's like a really good like stress reliever, something to work through your feelings with. And it gives you self-confidence. There are tons of things that, you know, being creative can do, and acting on it can do. So that's the opportunity that we want to give, you know, the youth.
Yeah, so I'm a believer that the creativity, you know, these thoughts and ideas, you know, they come for the express purpose for you to develop them. And I just believe that is why the thing that drives you, that your passion is for, is what is why you're here. And, you know, a lot of times adults might say, well, you better get a real job or a real career, and because that's not going to make you any money. Any of y'all heard that before?
So many times. I'm glad that you brought that up, because we've heard that so many times, and we still hear it, you know, like to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not at a point like yet where we make like a living off of music, you know, but we see like the vision of how to get there. And it's just like, when you're not doing it yet, people are just, it's easy for people to be like, oh, you need to get a real job. You need to do something that will pay you now, or, you know, you need to, you got to eat now, which is true. You do have to, you know, have some money, but it's just, it's kind of like a balance, but it's kind of like you have to choose either, it's a sacrifice, really. You got to choose whether, how bad do you want it, or, you know, do you want to be comfortable, you know?
Right, exactly. Bryce, you're in a communication major.
Yes, ma'am.
What led you to pursue communication?
Honestly, I kind of landed at it based on being lost kind of in the process of college, kind of following football to school and bouncing around in a couple different majors and finding out what was for me. And right before switching to communications, I was a business major. And at the particular school I was going to, their business majors was more focused on, like, financial accounting. So it was advised to me to try out communications because I was more into marketing and advertising. And so that's where I kind of landed with that.
Okay, and how do you feel? How do you feel when when people, adults, tell you, you know, when you're into the music, you want to do the entertainment? How do you respond when they say you need a real job and that's not going to get you anywhere?
Me personally, I agree. I mean, I definitely feel like. Like we said, that's one of the sacrifices we were talking about as far as access and resources. It's kind of a necessity to have funds or resources accessible. So having a real job or a real source of income is definitely important in chasing any passion creative. So me personally, I would say I agree. And that's where your circumstances make it more difficult or easier to balance the opportunity to work and how many hours you can devote to following your passion and some type of creative work.
For the time being anyway. So I'm going to ask Dr. Cannon to jump in here and, you know, with any questions or comments of any of our and also, of course, you all out there know that these are young men. These are young men, and we're happy to have them here. And we want you to tell us, too, before any of you go, what we can do, you know, what you'd like to see. And so you can be thinking about it, the adults do or for you to help you and what they can stop doing. Dr. Cannon.
Yes, beautiful. I appreciate it. You know, when somebody said earlier, you know, a lot of value still left in the church and in those church buildings. I guess my question would be to the young folk would be, what type of projects would you like to see in your community, you know, particularly even through the church, or, you know, if there was a project that you would put together? Sometimes, you know, for instance, you know, if there's no studios for the young people to do music in, you know, many years ago, our kids could go to church and get in the choir and learn to play the piano, learn to play the drums, you know. But, you know, now that you are an adult and you have the opportunity to put together projects and ideals, I guess I would want to hear, what would you pitch to your church in your community to do in one of those days that nothing is being done in the church, or one of those buildings is not being used? You know, I think, you know, a lot of times we forget the history of what it took for a lot of those churches to get built and organized, and the people, our grandparents, the money that they had to put together to buy the pews and the windows. And, you know, we still have those edifices in our community. So I guess my question to the young folk would be, with all the ideals you have, do you see any way that if the church was more proactive in your community, it could help you and it could help more young people like yourself? And then secondly, what would you pitch? What big ideal would you pitch to the pastor, to the board, that could be done at the church that's not being done in your community? I guess that would be my question. I would want to hear that.
Thank you, Dr. Cannon. I appreciate that question. My first, my response to the first part of your question is, I don't think it's so much about what the church can do. In terms of the community, I think the church does a good job in terms of interacting in the community and trying to make it a better place. Where I think they have a serious shortcoming, especially with young people, is being judgmental. And make no mistake when I say being judgmental, as in I literally mean like acting like you're better than another person, which we all know is wrong. And when young people like experience that and see that, and they have this like their people project onto them this feeling of, oh, I'm better than you because I didn't do the same things that you did, even though I did some messed up things too. They're just not the same things. They're not the same messed up things that you did. It's particularly disheartening for young people to even try to engage in church, I think, because of that fact. And I know multiple young people, and I'm not saying this is, I wouldn't say this is a personal standpoint of mine, but I definitely know multiple young people that feel like church is like very judgmental, and that's why they feel that they distance themselves from it, because they don't even want to kind of, you know, be bothered. And, you know, they feel like no one's going to understand, so why try? And my second, to answer your proposal, on days where the church isn't doing anything, I think that you could either have, well, first, it has to be some sort of contest, because contests will involve money, and money will bring people. So if you bring and it won't have to be some sort of, you know, elaborate contest. It could be a talent show. It could be, you know, 5-on-5 basketball, you know, team wins, something, anything constructive for a large group of people to do. And they don't have to worry about their safety, and they don't have to worry about, you know, violence, and they don't have to worry, you know, if this is something that is valuable to me, because it is, it will be valuable to them.
Well, you know, Dr. Lee, and to the listeners, you know, what I find valuable is, you know, family, and sometimes we forget that we have family. Sometimes we forget we have people that we can talk to. I know a lot of times they say the suicide rate in young people's lives is very high. And I would hope that, you know, most young people will exhaust all of their resources before they decide to take a gun or take their life. You know, I'd hope that they would, you know. But I think if we come up with great programs, y'all, maybe we could come up with a national softball Christian league in every city, you know, where we can bring the families back together, hit some home runs together. You know, maybe we can produce some shows together and use the church as a meeting place for that, for young people. Maybe we can get some of them rooms turned into a full-fledged, you know, studio where the young kids could come and produce music. I mean, real music where people can appreciate it and hear it, you know, all across the country. I think, you know, if we come up with some great ideals and we pitch them to the pastor, to the churches in our community, you know, sometimes you might have to make them do more than they're doing. They may be satisfied with just opening up 2 days a week. But maybe they can open up on Friday and Thursday and let the young people run some things. So I'm just, you know, I've got 5 sons. I was a young person. I know young people have, you know, a lot of challenges. But, you know, I know it's nothing more powerful than a group of young people that get it, that's excited, that love America, that understand the opportunities they have in America. And, you know, you got to be teachable sometimes because, you know, I found that, you know, in talking to young people, you know, what does the church say to young people? I mean, you don't want to be judgmental, but if a group of church brothers go out to the streets and see the brothers with their pants down, that's not being judgmental to say, brother, why y'all wearing your pants down? That make all of us look bad. You know, I think we have to appreciate the establishments in our community that has a standard and that will push that standard. Sometimes it does seem like they're hating. And, you know, sometimes it seems like daddy's hating on his daughter when he says, baby, you can't go sleep with all the football players. I'm not being judgmental on you, but I'm trying to kick some wisdom to you. You're going to make your life hard. And then sometimes my kids go do what they want to do anyways, but at least mom and daddy told them. At least the church held up a standard. And, you know, I found out that a lot of times young people don't appreciate that standard when they're young, but just live a little bit more and get older, and you appreciate that wisdom that you get from parents and from the church. And so I just think, y'all, that pitch strong to the pastors, get some ideals and go to them, and you'll find that they will even fund it if they believe in you. If you want a basketball league or a softball league or writing or debating, you know, the church is there. So I just want to, again, you know, keep that on the table as an answer and a solution. I know y'all dealing with a lot of things, but there's some people in those churches that got doctor degrees and master's degrees, and they will love you like a mama if you don't have your mama, if you don't have a daddy. Some of them brothers, you know, are good men, and they know how to mentor young men. But you got to get to the church. You got to get there and say, every time the door opens, I'm going to go in and see if I can learn something. So I just wanted to share that, Dr. Lee, Dr. Tatum, to everybody. I know our young people are dealing with tough stuff. I just want to say, don't forget the church.
Yes, thank you so much. And, yes, thank you. The church is there, available, and you know, I'd like to say to you all, never, ever hesitate to speak your heart, your mind, to whomever. And we can do that, and you can do that in a very respectful way. We don't have to be disrespectful, but that is, you know, a part of communicating to the adult what, you know, your feelings, and that you are an individual, that you have your own passion, your own drive, and you want, and we should understand that. We really should. We should understand that. I'm going to ask Dr.
You know,
on that point,
Dr. Lee, you know, what's valuable about that is that we want our kids and the young people to disagree with us. They don't have to always agree with us, but
absolutely.
I taught my son that it has to be done with respect. If you say daddy with no means of disrespect, or to the teacher with no means of disrespect, I disagree with you. And then you state the reason that you disagree, then that's going to make daddy respect you. That's going to make your teacher respect you. But if you want to roll your eyes and because you disagree, act like you're not listening and you don't learn to express yourself, your parents and the adults want to hear you express yourself and articulate in such a way to where you impress me, son. The way you disagreed with me, it gave me more respect for you because it showed me that you are well thought out. And I know when you leave my door and you go deal with other people, you're going to impress them too. And so that's our goal. We want to hear our young people thinking. They don't have to agree with us. Show me that you're thinking. You got your own mind. And then you can, no matter who's in the room, one thing, you know, Nick Cannon is my son. One thing, watching him as a young man, I watched him pitch a million-dollar idea at 17. And there was nothing but adults in the room. And the president of the company was on the speaker, so he had to, whatever he was going to articulate and sell to them, I think I walked out the room. And so he stood up at 17 and pitched a million-dollar idea, and they bought it. And I said, wow, if we can get our young people where their self-esteem is that powerful and they believe in themselves to where everybody that they love can walk out the room and leave them in there by themselves and they can still get the job done. We want to know that you're thinking. And that don't mean you got to agree with us, but articulate it so well that you make me see your point of view. And so I just wanted to share that too, Dr. Lee.
Thank you. Thank you. And I want you to also know that Neighborhood Commerce Institute, which is the organization that I founded, it has been in the making, you know, for a long time. Actually, even when I was working with Corporate America, I was developing this Neighborhood Commerce Institute so that we as a people, you with your ideas, young people, old people, whomever, somewhere where you can go and have the support for developing your ideas and your plans. Now, there's been monies that have been allocated for economic development, for developing entrepreneurs, for building our communities. There's funding in the area of grant money that even right now, you know, HUD just released a notification of several billions of dollars to that would be given in the form of grant funding, you know, into our communities and neighborhoods that we can go for. Now, there's a system. Everything is operated within a system. And the system has systemically been designed and organized in such a way to keep us out, you know. So we, number one, we don't even know the money's there. So if you don't know the money is there, you know, they make their announcements. But those announcements don't reach our neighborhoods, don't reach us. I mean, and I've always had the mindset while in white corporate America is why don't they, like, get this information into our neighborhoods? So first of all, we don't have access to the information. So how are we going to have access to the funding? How are we going to access to how to acquire the funding? And so this is how Neighborhood Commerce was born. And because I know, I worked from, you know, I've been involved in every level of government, you know, corporate America, economic development, any and everything has got anything to do with money for building. All types of money. And as I watched us be systemically redlined or neglected, which still yet goes on today, how many people on this line know that the last few days that these billions of dollars have been allocated? Grant money don't have to be paid back, but we have to know how to acquire it. We have to, through the system, get through the red tape, you know, respond to their requests for proposals. That's what we don't know how to do. But Neighborhood Commerce is established in order for us to be able to do it, to provide our Black communities clear across this entire country a platform to be able to access the funding by utilizing the abilities and the skills of our own. And it's a system whereby you're supported in the application, you're through the application process, assessing, you know, what you qualify for, literally finding the grant funding opportunities for you. But, and the only thing really that we need to do, Neighborhood Commerce is asking you to do, is to join us by helping to build Neighborhood Commerce membership, okay? This organization is set up for you. It's one another in bringing about changes in every neighborhood. There are 237,000 what's called designated neighborhoods in this country. We want what we call a community development corporation. We want 20,000 CDCs in this country so that we can meet the needs of the neighborhoods. Now, there's a key to the numbers. The more you have, and all of you can witness this, I mean, you all have witnessed this through, like, the Black Lives Matter movement, okay, through other organizations, associations, and people coming together by the large numbers and basically standing together and demanding, you know, what's ours to be given, you know, for them to respond and give it to us. Now, the numbers, number one, you have right here through Neighborhood Commerce the skills, the abilities, the know-how, the where it's at, how to get through the system, how to help these, how to help you to get through there, how to do all the paperwork, and qualify, okay? Cannot do it without you in the large numbers we want. A minimum of 400 entrepreneurs, business people, Black in your neighborhood, who wishes to develop your community. Now, there are no shortcuts, okay? The system is in place. It's in place very, very well to keep us out, systemically keep us out. Now, we can conquer that by knowing what to do and how to do it. Okay, that's Neighborhood Commerce. But Neighborhood Commerce needs you. We need you to come to Neighborhood Commerce. We need you to bring your friends. We need you to bring your feet, to bring any and everybody in the neighborhood who is thinking about trying to do anything. Because with the numbers, then they will listen. Their power, that's where the power comes in at. When you hear us talking about going across the country, going across the nation and building, we must be intentional about what we do. Every step that we make, we have to be intentional about it. This is what they've done. When they brought the hair products into the Black neighborhoods, that was the plan. They systematically did that. And then they brought them, and they were recruited, and they were brought here, and they were planted right in our neighborhoods with money that was allocated to economically build our communities. But they made sure that it didn't get in our hands. I was in the boardrooms during the minutes while the planning was going on amongst white corporate leadership, okay? So the same as Uber, you know, hit the country, countrywide, all at one time, big splash. Then the taxi cab companies were like, what happened? You know, we thought we were licensed and in place. We can be boosted out. Okay, I say that to say we can do the same thing. We can do the same thing by massively going or together going to our sources of funding where the money is being distributed. The money is going to the states, it's going to the counties, it's going to the cities, it's going to the municipalities, and then it's going to other agencies in order for us to apply for that funding for our businesses. And I'm saying this because I know that you're all out there, and, you know, our young people are speaking on the fact of, you know, building business. They want to build their programs, and they want to build these studios. I mean, those there's funding for that, for the arts, for the media, for communication businesses. There's money to get young people and the youth, the kids, somewhere to go. But if we can do it collectively, that's what they do. If we can do it collectively, then we will be heard. We've got doctors on here, you know, who can do telemedicine all over the country strategically, you know, so that we can make an impact on our communities. And then that way they will have to stop and listen. But, okay, I'll stop right here. And I'm going to go to Dr. Moncrief to feel free to, you know, I know I'm sure you have questions for our young people. And so I want to give you the
yes.
floor. Then, okay, great. Go ahead.
Yes. So my questions are to all three of them. I need to be able to understand a little bit deeper about why you are aspiring artists. Your goal is in life, professionally. And personally, for me, when I hear aspiring artist, that can mean just about anything. So I want you to pull that in and tell me specifically what that means. I want to listen, and I want to know when you go to school and get your degree, for example, from Kentucky State University as an aspiring artist. What do you do with that degree to get to where you want to be in life?
Well, I can start off first. First of all, thanks for asking that question. I appreciate that. And when I say we're aspiring artists, when we say that we're aspiring artists, that was kind of like wrong because we are artists. Like, we have things that are out. We are actively working on our craft, and, like, we have a passion for it. So we're not full-on artists. Like, we do this every single day for a living, but we're artists. And in terms of using our degrees in order to – well, let me backtrack a little bit. First, to my goals in artistry. I think I speak for not only myself, but my boys when I say that we want to be some of the best to ever do it. And, you know, those are lofty goals, but I think that it's very possible because anything is possible if you work hard enough. And I'm not afraid to put in that work to get to that point. You know, I want to prove it to myself. We want to prove it to ourselves that we can do it. And, you know, that's one thing that keeps us, like, chasing after it. We're chasing not only to be one of the best, but just to see if we see what the best is that we can be. Because if we can become, like, the best that we could be, then I think that we really would be one of the best. And, that's where our head is right now. And in terms of using our degrees in order to affect our artistry career, in a communications lane, you could probably use the marketing aspects in order to better promote your brand and your music. Speaking for me at least, school is just like, if you're not going, in my opinion, like if you're not going to be
if you don't have like a set field that you want to go into before you go to school, you're kind of like wasting. Education is, you know, better has than not. But I feel like if you were to go, if you were to execute, make a plan and execute it without going to school, rather than going to school, wondering what you want to do, wondering what you wanted to get a degree in, and then, you know, just kind of shooting in the dark until you figure it out. I feel like the same amount of time it took you to do that could have been used to really pursue your dreams, whatever those may be, and they would be more fulfilling. And I only say that because the state of higher education right now is really disheartening, and the fact that it seems to like not be paying off, especially in our generation where people have master's degrees and they're actively looking for jobs because they can't find any, is just like, you know, it's very disheartening. For me, it's had me many times like, well, why did I even go to school? Like, what was the point? And, you know, of course there's like a point, you know, to get your education and to do things and exercise your freedoms that our ancestors didn't have. But, you know, it's just a thought. And it's done now, but, you know, I don't want someone else to have to experience that and to have to figure it out the hard way like I did, you know.
I would love to hear from the other two, if possible.
This is Bryce speaking, by the way. And for me personally, like I said, with me getting into communication, it kind of helped me understand the importance of human interaction and just simply networking. And for me personally, being an aspiring artist is just a part of the whole mission for me. I guess my bigger goal is to be more of a mogul. I want to have multiple business ventures. I want to get into real estate. I'm working on acquiring my real estate license this summer. And just spreading into different things. And I feel like as far as where I see school taking an impact in that is honestly more like what Carson said. Is for me, it's more like my insurance policy, I guess, like having the education, because like I said, it helped me discover what I wanted to do, and it helped me discover, I guess, the professional side to communication, how to, as y'all said, operate within the box and on paper and in between the lines. But I guess I don't have an immediate answer, I guess. Like, that was a really good question. I don't have an immediate answer for how I'm going to connect all of these things and make them flow together. I guess that's what we're working on, and a big part of what we express in our music is our journey and our trouble and finding out how all of these things connect for us and how we interact with our passions and what we're doing and trying to get a degree and how they all overlap and can all end up working for us.
Well, that's great. That's great. I'm just going to jump in here just for a sec to let you know that Bryce, if you work on getting your real estate license, keep in touch. I know someone who, you know, young black broker who would be looking for you know, just like you, to be able to mentor the real estate business. Okay, go ahead, Dr. Moncrief. Who was the next one she wanted to hear from?
Hear from Gil.
Yes, I appreciate the question. Being an aspiring artist to me is influencing people younger than me or around me to really just chase whatever their creative mentalities chase. Because at the end of the day, you do have priorities. Stuff still has to get done. People still have to pay bills and still have to take care of actions to take care of themselves in this world. But at the same time,
you can still do that and still chase your other dreams. And that's what being an inspiring artist is to me, just trying to show that persona through my music and give that message that, similar to what Bryce said, we're still going through our journey and figuring stuff out, but I'm figuring stuff out and you can still handle other business, such as graduating or getting good jobs and getting internships and opportunities from other people by the connections that you have and the network that you create around yourself. And we try to make that pretty distinct in our music. Just being around the right people, I feel. But I am still figuring out a lot of stuff. Although I am graduating with my degree, I do plan on taking it further and going into grad school and going into film production as well, because I would definitely like to create my own movies and film and direct and screenwrite and just try to really expand and be very diverse in what I would want to create and what I would want to put out into the world. But I'm using all of my perspectives that I'm using now to build it up and really have a storyboard for when the time comes to have it laid down.
Well, this is good.
Thank you.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I was just going to interject really quick. And Howard Media School in the Detroit area. I know it's closed down, but I want to suggest that in what you want to do, you're in Detroit, see if you can find that building. I remember it being somewhere, let's see, I remember it being somewhere in Southfield.
Right, it was probably near Evergreen and 9 Mile, someplace like that.
Yeah, somewhere, yeah, yes, yes. Near that huge church, near that really huge church, and I don't remember the name of the church, but yeah, so if I know that last few times I was in the area, you know, it was just sitting there, you know, vacant. So I want to ask you three to find that building, check it out, see if you can find out any details about it. Because since it was already a film school, you know, it should have some things in there already. I'm sure you'll have to upgrade it or modernize it, technology. But that might be something we can look into. I'd be willing to look into for you if you get the address, reach out. You know how to reach us. And, you know, with the basic information, that would be the address. You can also go to the city and find out who owns the building, and we can try to research, see if it's for sale, and that might be a starting point for your you know, for what you want to do for the kids, and where you might be able to build a studio. And then we can look into, you know, what type of funding is in the area and the purposes. Okay, so I just want to say that really quick. And then we're going to Dr. Longs and Dr. Tatum. Dr. Tatum, are you still here? Maybe let's say Dr. Tatum, Dr. Longs, and then we're going to circle back around. But I want you young people to talk to us, tell us where to come in at or get off at. That's what we want to hear. Dr. Tatum.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Lee. A wonderful program, especially involving the youth and incorporated into the conversation. I think what you guys are talking about is great. I was just talking to some people in our state of California, and particularly the city of Bakersfield. They have a lot of empty buildings, and I was mentioning, I think, to Dr. Cannon about having a culinary school, a school also for broadcasting, teaching youth how to have their own broadcasting TV show recording studio, and also how to run a campaign and set up a stage where they could have debates and to teach them how to get into politics so they can take control of their area. So I think you guys are on the right track, and just commend you for this conversation tonight.
Thank you, Dr. Longs, and then we're going to go to Jared.
Again, good evening, everyone. You know, I know there are some individuals who are on the call, and I would encourage them to, you know, call in and express their views, because what we're talking about is pretty much some things that these some other individuals have some expertise in or trying to gain some expertise in. And with young people, with Carson and his group really facilitating the show, I think it would be a good time for them to call in. The one thing I wanted to ask the group, and let me say, first of all, it's always inspiring to hear young people doing positive things. And, you know, I have to check myself sometimes because I'm in an environment for at least 10 hours a day where I'm just looking at so much negativity with our young people and all the all their goals and talents being lost. But I wanted to know what the individuals on the call tonight, what are their thoughts when they're trying to do so many positive things, you know, get through school, dealing with finances regarding school, dealing with what parents may think about what their career paths should be and what they want to do. But when you hear a story of an individual in Buffalo, you know, who's in your generation to do such a heinous, evil act, I'm just curious in terms of how you guys receive that. What impact does it have on you, your motivation, you know, your outlook on life when something like that happens? So I'll sit back and listen.
Okay. Thank you for that question, first and foremost. But I can start. Seeing something as the Buffalo shooting that occurred a couple of days ago, it is, well, number one, it's surreal. Number two, it's kind of like, you know, obviously it's evil, but you just kind of either... there are only one of two things that can happen when something happens like this. You can either focus on it and keep dwelling on it, and that negativity will pour into you, and you'll be feeling, you know, terrible about the situation. Or you can look at it, acknowledge it, do what you can to protect yourself, and kind of just live your life. And I'm in like I'm leaning more towards the latter because, well, I have a few reasons. Number one being that I absolutely believe that the death and harm of black people are marketed and they're used in mainstream media, and it's like programming. They show it every day on every major news station. Any major news station from your city will show you a crime involving a black person, like a violent crime involving a black person, or them doing something, you know, that's like less than savory. This is all by design to give us this perception of ourselves that is less than what we really are. And not only ourselves, but anyone of any other race that sees that. So what I like to refer to it as, like, trauma pornography, like you're just like kind of like getting hit over the head, like with trauma and death and like this really, really bad thing. And you, if you're not careful, you can just like really get caught up in it. And lately I've just, like when I saw the thing, you know, I saw some of the video. I couldn't finish watching it though, because I had to make the decision, like, okay, I'm not going to watch this because
if I watch this right now, what is it going to help me with? Like, if I watch this, it's not going to bring me peace. If I watch this, it's not going to bring the people whose lives were lost back. If I watch this, it's not going to make the guy get a longer sentence. So really, when you think about it, if you watch it, you're just hurting yourself. And you just have to – I'm at a place where I, you know, being from Detroit, I always watch my back anyway. But I'm just now at a place where, you know, I'm just really vigilant and, you know, I'm aware of the injustices that we face, and I just do my best to just kind of, you know, roll with the punches, honestly. And that's what I think.
DeLong? Anyone else want to respond to his question? So, okay, Jared, we're going to give you the floor. Maybe Dr. Long got lost somewhere.
Hello. Yes, ma'am. Thank Jared. You, Dr. Lee. Go ahead, Dr. Long. I think he came back.
Yeah, only my reason for asking the youth about that particular incident, because those of us who are older, when you think about how you were able to even sharpen your focus and maintain your eye on the prize, as it said, based on all the things we've witnessed, you know, and coming up from our teenage years, and as far as the riot in Detroit, King assassination, Malcolm X, et cetera, but I can't recall, even though it's always been there, more subtle, I can't recall those mass shootings like that. I think the closest thing that I could probably recollect as it relates to being in residency was the bombing in Oklahoma, in which I had a classmate who had just walked out of that building. But, you know, I'm just curious in terms of how they sharpen their focus in the midst of something like that happening for their generation. So that was the preface of that call. Oh, that was that question. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you. Jared.
Yes, ma'am, Dr. Lee. Dr. Moncrief, Dr. Cannon, Dr. Tatum, Dr. Longs, and everyone. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you, you know, for this opportunity. But I wanted to ask a question. It's a pretty poignant question, and I wanted all of the gentlemen to answer. It harkens back to something that I was told by a chief master sergeant when I was in the Air Force. He said, being in leadership, you learn more about yourself than anyone you ever lead. And I say that to say that you're taking on something that's very powerful. It's very necessary. But it also requires some education and training that's going to go along with it, right? The individuals who you're going to reach, who you're going to give this power to, they have to be given it in a way where they'll be effective with it. We've seen what it does when you have individuals who don't respect the power that it is, who just seek to exploit it and to exploit other things for their own benefit. And that is the power to control the narrative. That's the power to communicate, the power to speak. So when you come across that as a person who's going to be in that place to lead those people down that road to tell their story, how do you cultivate the idea of allowing them freedom from what has been cultural disenfranchisement? You know, you can't have a smart brother on a record speaking nothing because nobody wants to hear that. But, you know, you can have Booty Shake and some other cat saying something detrimental, and that sells records. So how do you help those individuals who have that cultural disenfranchisement on their shoulders, but they still have a story to tell, to cultivate that story so that people know that this level of communication and control in the narrative is a multifaceted thing, and it requires that the people who listen become educated themselves in the fact that they listen?
Thanks for that question. Go ahead, bro.
I got you. To answer that question, I think in teaching people how to tell their story, especially being a black youth in America, it's about reminding people that the industry was built upon us and our lives and our stories in the first place. And to feel the need to conform to the mainstream idea of what's popular, like what you said, the violence or the booty shaking or this or that, that's not really the goal of self-expression. And that's what music truly is. It's an opportunity to kind of break the norm and journey within and look within yourself and express that, because that's the only, with music, you're marketing yourself, you're packaging yourself, your story, and teaching people how to do that. You have to remind people that you are unique and your story is the only one of a kind thing that you can sell, and you try to conform to what's, there's already somebody doing that music that you heard on the radio that made the millions of dollars. The songs that's going to make millions of dollars that tomorrow are going to be the untold stories of the youth. Like one of the big hot button topics today is critical race theory. And one of the tenets of critical race theory speaks about the unique voice of color. And that is because most industries that are built on creative, any industry that's been built in this country has been built on the stories, the lives, on the work of, on the minds of the Black community of this country. And reminding people of that when telling their story kind of gets people to focus away from the mainstream and focus about what's important and what's sellable about themselves and their story, I guess.
Amen. The other guys, please tell us what you think.
Yeah, that was really well said by Bryce. And he kind of really hit the nail on the head of what I was going to say, which is that, you know, music is self-expression, and, you know, mainstream stuff is like literally the kind of like the opposite of what the point is with our music. And, you know, it's the way I believe how to break the narrative and control it is to really just take it and just, like, you know, take your story and make it as, you know, if people relate, people are going to relate anyway, because we're all the same. We just have our individual differences, but we're all the same at the end of the day. So when you talk about real things, you talk about real life, and you talk about, you know, real issues that people experience, it's hard for people not to relate and to not enjoy it and for that not to become the narrative, because that's what real hip-hop is. Real hip-hop is, you know, something that KRS-One said in this interview was, you don't find hip-hop. If your hip-hop is real, hip-hop will find you. And, like, that just really spoke to me, because, you know, KRS-One is, like, you know, a conscious dude, conscious rapper, and he's, you know, a great rapper. But it was so true, because all of these guys that rap about, you know, and not to say that rapping about those mainstream topics of violence and booty shaking are wrong, because if that's what you grew up seeing, then that's probably what you're going to talk about, because that's what you've experienced. But it's knowing that you can use your platform for not only different things and talking about how you feel on the inside, but, like, using it like for positivity and for telling someone, you know, do that thing that you're scared to do. Chase your dreams. Be creative. Don't be an average person. You know, like, do something amazing, you know. And I think that's what we try to bring to the table with our music, is, you know, just authenticity and being straight up with people about, you know, life. Like, you're not here to impress anyone. You're not here to, you know, do this for someone else. You get one life to live, and it's yours. And you come here alone, and you die alone. So you need to do the best you can to have the life that you want to live, not a life that you think someone else will think is impressive.
Hey, man, again. And was it Reese? Is Reese still with us? Gil hasn't spoke yet. Yes, I'm still with us. I feel just my brothers are just, they hit the, hey,
They hit it right on the head. It's basically watered down now and almost looked at as a business. And to give a voice to other people, such as you said, who are not into everything that mainstream is talking about, it's almost similar to what Carson said, just relating to what people can relate to, even if it was a specific situation or a certain time in their life that they went through that you might have been around to see, or you might have went through the same thing. It's just about who you're around and surrounding yourself with the network to even make the music to get through to everyone. And being a voice for people who might not have one but want one is difficult, but it is possible. It just is not going to be able to be accepted by everyone because mainstream does talk about booty shaking and killing people, murdering people, and it's just hard to get by when that's what's selling in the industry. And people feel that what's not selling doesn't deserve any attention, but that isn't true at all because everything deserves attention. And like Carson said, if that's what they grew up seeing, that's their experience, that's what's selling in business. But overall, real music will always get through from speaking from your experience through reality and what really faces you.
Amen. Amen. I wanted to say that, and I wanted to get you guys' impression on that because I think that something else that Carson touched on earlier about being lost in the darkness while you're going to school, you don't really know what path you want to take. It's important to highlight that, in my opinion, because that is one of those things I think in a lot of people that are broken, is that we've been so systemized as Black people that we don't see potentials and opportunities that exist outside of other things because we don't necessarily see the power that we hold. We don't see the ability to turn those things that we gain into something that we can all grow from. You know, only Black fathers in America have the ability to make all the mistakes in the world but still teach a valuable lesson to the child. Why? Because they know their child is going to be in a system that's going to do them worse. If they get to learn that within the house, then somehow that's still a saving grace, and that's sad. We have so many young men who are great with working with their hands, but they don't really have an ability to apply that because when they try to apply for jobs here, they're underpaid to the point where they're stuck in a system on a rat wheel trying to keep up. Or they have a situation where things get ahead of them and they have to do what they need to do to survive and feed their families, and they end up being trapped in the system that way because, as Carson said before, it's a narrative that's been fed to people who don't even know them. They're never given the chance to be able to cultivate any of those things and turn them into something positive. So when you do have a leader that comes up that tries to say something or tries to put a different impression out there, then they meet their own set of challenges, which are designed to keep them in that place. It's designed to push back on their ability to reach those individuals who they can influence, those individuals who they can change. The digital generation has brought a new weapon and a new tool to bear. And that new tool is the ability for our communications to come out unfettered. And if that is the case, then those leaders that you in the place that you guys are going to be in are indispensable. They are the people who will cultivate the ability for all of those multiple facets to have a voice and a place to speak their truth. If we're talking about living our best lives, the first step on living your best life is being able to speak your personal truth and have that personal truth accepted in one arena or another, and then grow from those things that you may have not been able to see being personal in the situation, but are now able to see when you share those in a group that communicates well with you and well about what those experiences are. I think that we get lost sometimes in the fact that it's just so much to lift in this system. But still, even with people having master's degrees and things like that who are unable to ply their trade, that doesn't necessarily mean that all options are exculpated from you. They're not all locked away. You can get to them. You just have to redesign the approach. Not everything is controlled by the system. If we keep feeding the system things that allow it to control us, then we'll always be chasing an unattainable goal, right? And I'm so impressed to hear what you gentlemen are trying to do. I'm praying for every success because I think it's one of those things that we so very much need, because the narrative of who we are as black people is no longer really being told by us. It's being lensed through what somebody thinks our life is. And they have a lot of, you know, Hoppy Bob and you know, minstrel show participants who are willing to stand in that place, put on blackface, and dance around as though that's any sort of truth. And it's not. The truth really is those individuals who have that unspoken tale that you gentlemen are about to take on, that's the reality of black life. That is the truth of that good glue. What you gentlemen are about to take on is the thing that makes that good glue, and it adds to the narrative of the black philosophy, which we need to get back to. Thank you all very much. God bless you. And thank you.
That's great. Thank you so very much. This has been really, really good tonight. And I certainly appreciate you, all of you, coming on. We've got a lot of listeners out here. You know, you can still, there's still time for you to speak your opinion or ask a question. I just have to tap one on your phone and your line will be open. Let's see, 832-7940. Your line is open if you'd like to speak.
Yes, hello. Yeah, hi. You know, my name is Amos. I'm just trying to piggyback something that I heard Dr. Cannon spoke of earlier. It was very interesting to me because a lot of the comments, which is all excellent comments, excellent feedback, really enjoying this format. The thing that sometimes worries me is the fact that we as individuals, sometimes we look at what the youngsters are doing today. But when I look from the other side of the fence and I'm looking at the youngsters who have a program and they're trying to communicate this to the elder ones, they get a lot of pushback. Mm-hmm. And in my opinion, sometimes they get upset. And like this, like you said, you know, we have to be respectful in our approach and how we communicate. Sometimes it doesn't really matter because you still get that pushback from the older ones because it's like, hey, here's this youngster trying to tell me something or teach me something that, in my opinion, they should have known a long, long time ago. So it's like, who is this youngster trying to come up and school me and telling me this and telling me that? And so the defense, the walls goes up, and so the youngster start to get annoyed and frustrated. And to me, he kind of closed down instead of really taking his ideas and, you know, his talent and keep pushing. So how do we address some situations like that when people are not open to new ideas?
Particularly the older ones, right?
Yes.
Yes. We really do need to learn to listen. And I mean, and I think that we can, the older ones can encourage, you know, we have to start talking to each other, I think. I heard earlier one of the, I believe, I don't know if it was Carson, I can't remember now which one, but had said that just what you just said, in other words, that they shut down and feel that they don't want to be heard anyways, you know, so they don't talk and they won't share with us because, you know, this is how they already feel because of our reactions. And so what do we... Yes, go ahead.
If I could interject, again, you know, this do shut down because, in my opinion, the older ones, because of all this false pride and respect, it's like, hey, you can't teach me nothing. You're still a pup. You're still growing. You're still learning. Yeah, but I got ideas, and I could see, and I could understand what's going on around me. And give me a way out. Give me an avenue, some form of medium, so I could implement some of those ideas. Give me your support. Give me something. But don't just shut me down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and too many times I've seen that, not only from a personal level, but also in the business environment.
You're right. Young men, did you like to respond?
Yeah, I would like to respond. Unfortunately, my partners had to leave, as I told you earlier, okay. Dr. Mary Lee. But they, as I said, very much appreciate the opportunity to be on this show. And I like this guy's question. I didn't catch your name, but I really like your question because that's something that young adults like myself have to kind of like navigate and, you know, tread lightly on because, you know, like you said, even if you talk to someone that's older than you respectfully, feel like you don't, if they feel like, you know, they you just don't know anything and there's nothing that you can do to really, like, change that, and you're already working from, like, a disadvantage. So I think what kind of older people need to do is be more open to hearing different perspectives and be open to, you know, accepting that everything that you think that you know, you may not necessarily know, because we know we've all been lied to. Everything we've all been told our fair share of lies that we believe that we had to come to terms with that were not real. And sometimes you believe these lies so intently that they are real to you, and when someone tries to correct you, it's just like they're almost like insulting you. So I think that, like, the biggest thing that needs to happen with, you know, older adults is just being ready to be open and listen. You know, a lot of people listen to respond, but listening to respond is just like defeating the whole purpose. You have to listen to comprehend, and, like, you have to listen to comprehend, you have to listen to understand. If you're listening to respond, then you can't understand because you formed your opinion in response already. So that's like one of the hugest issues when it comes to young adults communicating with, you know, older adults. And I think just like kind of a lack of respect overall, not to say any of you guys have a lack of respect, of course, but there are plenty of adults that I've dealt with that thought that I didn't know something, and then I say something to, you know, prove that I do know, and in fact I know more, and then they're kind of just like, you know, mad, for lack of a better term. And that's just, you know, there's no reason to be mad. You know, no one's, you know, scolding anyone or we're trying to tear anyone down. We're only trying to help each other, and we're trying to gain perspective, you know?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Mr. Amos?
Yes. Yes, I do appreciate the feedback, you know, but like I said, that's something that I've observed throughout, you know, time, in every avenue in terms of professional, personal, you know, another thing that I've noticed as a young man growing up, when you have an opinion and the way you come across, especially to the system in terms of the system that we deal with, you know, oh, this guy, he's too aggressive. It's not about being aggressive. It's about sometimes being confident and being true to yourself. You know, this is what I want. This is what I know. This is what I'm going to implement. Can you help me with this? And again, I'm not coming off harsh. I'm not trying to come off with no disrespect. I'm just saying you know, we got to tear those walls down and we got to be open and be receptive to new ideas, you know, because it's not your idea. Don't just close down on me. Hear me out. Mm-hmm. Talk to me. You know, and that's something that I see we need to do more of. We just need to really, you know, put away the pride. Because you're older than me doesn't mean because I'm younger than you, I shouldn't tell you certain things. You don't know everything. And until we could come together as a unit and move as a unit, we can always be fighting an uphill battle.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to break those barriers away, break those barriers down. So we still got a lot of work to do, and I really appreciate this forum. You guys are doing a great job. Thank you so much.
And thank you. We appreciate you and for joining us, and also always feel free to join us. Well, we're getting around to that hour of wrapping it up. So Montrese, let's see, Dr. Tatum. We'll start with Dr. Tatum, Dr. Moncrief, and Dr. Longs, and then Carson. Well, Jared, and then Carson. We want Carson to be the last speaker for tonight as our special guest.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Lee, and the special guests, Carson, and those that were chiming in. Back in 2005 in the state's capital of California, Sacramento, I was fortunate enough to have a cable program and have our youth produce it, direct it. I taught them how to run the cameras, how to edit, how to run the switchboard, and they had a program called That's What's Up, where they communicated to hundreds of thousands of people in the state's capital of California about their issues, their problems. It was peer-to-peer. They would bring people in the studio and talk about situations they were going through. These were like junior high to high school, and they did an outstanding job. All I did is pretty much sit there and let them direct, produce, and do everything. So they were able to articulate their pains and suffering, their concerns. Some of them were about to graduate, didn't know the direction they were going to go to the military or college. So I think if we give them that platform to really do peer-to-peer communications, I think you'll be surprised with some of the innovative ideas they will come up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello. My comments are follow-ups basically on these young, remarkable African-American men and as they go on their journey to become artists. For me, as a physician, I wanted to be a doctor, and so I had a clear vision of what I needed to do to be a doctor. I didn't have to. I could follow a roadmap once I found it. To be a lawyer, you can do that. It's a clear track, a clear vision of how to get there. To be a dentist is clear. To be an artist, to me, is not so clear. And by me saying it's not so clear is when the road for each of these three talented young black men is not one that has you do this. Year one, you do this. Year two, you do this. Year five, you do this. Year 10, and then you reach your goal. Mm-hmm. So for me, if I were to dream to become an artist, I would be trying to find a way to have clear steps so that I can follow, have a role model. Somebody who would be leading me along the way. And I was hoping to hear that from my three champions tonight, and maybe they have that and just did not share that. And the other thing that was interesting to me is that they spoke about
they're using their platform, which I think is brilliant. I think that's brilliant. But they didn't speak about protecting their platform. And I think that that's where many of us fall short. I think, Dr. Lee, you gave some good advice about financing, and I hope the young men heard it, that there's opportunities for financing, and that you can help them with it, with that, you know, even today. I was hoping that our young men, when they were talking about going to college, one of the things that they were going to take away is that they know how to invest their money and protect their money so that they can invest it back into their communities if they desire. But I didn't hear that. So I'm hoping that that's part of it that they just didn't say, but protecting that platform. And I didn't hear them talk about, you know, substance abuse and use, drug abuse and use. And I hope that comes from them not wanting to experiment, not wanting to be tempted as they travel down that road of becoming artists and establishing their platform. Nothing will destroy their platform more quickly than getting off into the drug trade, the drug business. And the last thing I wanted to say, well, I could say more, but the last thing I wanted to say was I looked up at Speck Howard School of Media for you. I Googled it while we were here, and it joined Lawrence Institute of Technology. And so I don't know if that building is still available, but the school is right down the street there. I just wanted to say those things. And again, I'm very, very proud of these three young brothers. I want them just to protect themselves and continue to grow, and I want them to flourish in their artistry. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good afternoon again, everybody. I mean, good evening. It's getting late. Again, I want to applaud Carson and his, his crew that, you know, I could actually say are his friends. And by me saying that is that the reason I say it is because on a daily basis, I try to get an understanding with youth that I see, particularly those who are who've made some bad mistakes, and you know they describe each other as friends, which is definitely far off the path based on what they're facing. Again, I want to congratulate them and applaud them and motivate them to literally keep their eyes on the prize. And you know, those of us who are older, you know, we grew up with that phrase always in the back of our heads that kind of drove us to do various things from middle school. It was just the earliest I heard that phrase. And, of course, that was surrounded by different programs depicting the struggles of the civil rights movement, icons such as Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, et cetera. So I want to further encourage them to keep their goals and dreams alive, while also encouraging them to look on history, even though I think for us coming up at a certain age, you know, we weren't I wasn't of age in the 50s and 60s to be carrying signs and things like that, but you couldn't help but be entrenched in what the actual mission of all of us, the task we were put out to do in terms of education. There are some individuals on the call that I would strongly encourage to provide some input as well, and perhaps next time they can do that. And again, encouraging Carson and his colleagues to maintain their focus, because it's, you know, the other thing I wanted to say when we the caller talked about not supporting young folks and not understanding them, it had me think about probably over the last 10 years in my private practice, the primary reason I'm seeing young people is because of the fact that they've earned these alphabets behind their name, that means you breathe, and they were very upset because they couldn't find a job in their field. So it allowed me to listen to them a little bit more intently in terms of why they went to school, and in some cases it would create an intense dialogue with the parents who had encouraged them to go to school as well. And one of the great equalizers for me in terms of main assuring that I had to listen to young people was the whole computer technology age. I've learned so much from young people showing me how to get through the computer, how to do all these little tricks of their trade because they grew up with the computer in front of them. Unfortunately, that took away their potential of using writing skills and cursive writing. But all in all, I want to just congratulate Carson and his friends tonight for providing their perspective. And again, encourage them to, quote unquote, keep their eyes on the prize.
Thank you, Dr. Long. Jared?
Yes, ma'am, Dr. Lee. Before I get started, I want to again say God bless you all. I appreciate the opportunity every time you give me to speak. I also forgot to mention Dr. Tynes. May God watch over him, keep him healthy and well wherever he is, and hopefully he'll return next week. So what I want to say is I'm going to end on a positive note. I want to speak to any of those individuals who may be silently out there listening and hearing this. I think that the lesson to take from this is there is still power in the things that people don't necessarily attribute value to in America. There's still power in things like communication. There's still power in those who choose to work with their hands, the builders. There's still power that remains with those who choose to take the unappreciated road. Oftentimes, those of us who offer the most success to other people are those individuals who will never be praised for doing so. Until we can get to a place where those same things are recognized and understood and communicated across the board to all of those who care to give it an ear, who will drink it in and appreciate the value of what it is, we will always be striving in vain. But that path starts with things like what you heard today. When you have young individuals who have a clear-eyed mind for what they want to do, and they're seeking out those methods to approach and do that. For those of you who don't quite have that organized plan, you still have something in you. You have inspiration. That inspiration is the thing that will carry you forward. Even if your story is untold, even if your story is unappreciated, seek that inspiration that came from within you. Help to define yourself by what you choose to do. Your choices matter. Anything you want to accomplish that is going to be something that gives you that opportunity to live your best life, go for it, unafraid, unabashed, bold, and stand on your own two feet. Do it. Because you will be someone who may offer that inspiration you're feeling now in that same dark place to someone else who can't see it. Persevere. Keep going. If you hear one no, seek out three or four more no's because somebody's going to say yes. May God bless you all. Thank you for the opportunity. Have a wonderful night. Praise God.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'd like to say thank you to all of you, our listening audience and our co-hosts and just everybody who's contributed. I want to say thank you, you know, for meeting us here each week and, you know, and just carrying on, you know, what is on the inside of us. Before Carson wraps us up, I want to say to our guests, to Carson and your group, that just remember, well, of course, you know, old enough to literally remember, but some of us are. Berry Gordy in Motown literally started on the streets, literally brought singers, brought, you know, the artists who were just standing on the streets. I remember, you know, the young people, that's what they did. That's what we did in that day. Just get on the streets and just sing on the corners in front of one another houses. And you go to visit in, down the street, the neighborhood, you could always hear the youth making music. It's making music. And it took only one person, you know, who decided to open up his basement. And look where Hissville went to, you know, started Hissville, Motown. And music that was new, it was new. You know, they got the same thing, you need a job. They didn't go get you nowhere. You got the same thing, you know. I was literally growing up, you know, during my teen years, during that time in Detroit. And, of course, I was trying to, we lived on the east side. I was trying to get to the west side, you know, so that, you know, I could, you know, my friends were going over there and at this house and listening to the, you know, upcoming stars. We had no idea. We had absolutely no idea. But every, you know, they had a dream. They had a vision. And it was out on the inside. It was God-given. That's who they are. That's who they were then. That's who they are today. And so no one has any idea, even though, like Dr. Moxley said, we go into professions that we can pick up a book and it tells us, you know, step one, step two, step three, and you got to learn this, you got to learn that. But there's no book, you guys, you're brave. You know, there's no book to what you're doing. You're feeling your way. You truly have to follow your spirit, God's spirit on the inside. And your, you know, your gut feeling, your intuition, you have to lean and depend on the hope and your vision that you have. This is what was happening all around. And when I think about, you know, how and where Motown went to, you know, and living the music, still living today, you know, there's no music like it. And so I want to say keep going and know that this platform is here for you anytime you want to join. And things that we've talked about, Carson, that you want to do, they're going to happen. They're happening. They're happening now. So thank you for bringing your friends on. Thank you for coming on. Thank you, Dr. Moncrief, Dr. Long, Dr. Tynes, and those who are absent. Certainly appreciate you. Okay, Carson, you're going to wrap us up.
Thank you so much for those kind words, Dr. Mary Lee. I really appreciate it. The only thing that I think I want to say is just thank you for all the kind words, and thank you for listening, and thank you for being open to our perspective on life. And because I think that's like one of the most important things is perspective. Without perspective, you have nothing. Everything is the same. So, you know, I really just appreciate you guys, and I appreciate you seeing, you know, the kind of vision that I have and, you know, the kind of things that I want to do and the impact that I want to have. So, yeah, you know, God bless you guys. I appreciate you having me in this space tonight.
And you're so welcome, and thank you for joining us. Thank you all. We love you. Until next week, this is Dr. Mary Lee Lai saying stay well and stay safe. God bless you.
Peace to the ancestors. Yes. Peace to Dr. Cornell West. Yes. Peace to the movement. Yes. We came from the bottom. Ever since they got us, we've been going through these problems. 400 years behind, and it's no promise that we gon' never actually be equal, to be honest. It's messed up how they put us in chains, kidnapped our language and changed our names. But when we speak Ebonics, then they call it a shame. They leave us with a couple options. robber slang, now we locked up again. How much can our skin take? We went from slaves to inmates, carrying the weight of the 50 states, working your forms. Black nannies carrying white babies in their arms. Black men sacrifice their lives in your wars, but you'll never show appreciation here at home. You treat us so damn wrong, you act like you hate my race. The police, they just beat us in the streets like an 808 base. America, when will you defend my case? You never will, cause your freedom is fake. I'm only living here cause I want to get paid enough to round up all my family and shake.
Get up, 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 get up.
They done tore down all the PJs in my barrio. Gang units for worst case scenario. Might work till a couple of quirks. Can't call it pancakes cause you pour some syrup. It's a whole lot bigger than a pretty new house, especially when the road is still running about. P. Diddy running marathons, racing dough. That's going to the school where the tax money go. Homeland Security, now there's a phenomenon. Pacifying folks by hanging Saddam. Troops still riding, still obliging, still no Bin Laden. Tuned in, waiting for the president's announcements. No 40 acres, take these 40 ounces. We ain't gonna get on the levees. Revolution televised early. Is you ready?
Why you wanna treat me so cold? Lost your mind, especially when you done been down for so much time. Getting up don't even really ever cross your mind. You got pawn shop, gun shop, liquor store sign. SWAT team, crack fiends, unemployed line. Stay late, dollar short, trying to buy time. What we do to survive is defined as a life of crime. You can't ball, then you force the grind. If you fall, then you cross the line. And I've been putting in work from 9 to 5 and 5 to 9. Since phone calls cost a dime. What it made me is one of the relevant, highly intelligent brothers not only dealing with the same drugs. If I'm a hustler, then what's more American? We all founded on the same thug heritage.